All right, welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you on FM 104.3 WQAM. Our first day fully here on FM 104.3. Hockman Crowder Solana coming up after us here today. Joe Rose, heard him this morning. You missed any of that stuff, you guys can go get it on the Odyssey, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn apps and wherever your podcasts are available. You guys can also watch us on YouTube and Twitch. What is the new handle, Jennifer? Is it 104.3 WQAM? Is that the new handle that people can go follow? If you guys haven't followed our handle, you guys can go at, I think, 104.3 WQAM on YouTube, and that is the channel. You can also just look up WQAM on YouTube and subscribe there. And same thing for Twitch as well, you rascals. Let us get to our headlines here in hour number three, which are brought to you by Doral Hyundai, the number one Hyundai store in the nation. Just went full beast mode. Doral Hyundai, where the deals are monstrous and the prices don't survive. No one sells for less. No one. Miami Dolphins are getting set for camp. Leroy, we have some updates on the injuries. Tyreek Hill, according to Mike McDaniel, is battling an oblique injury.
The worst. Because they're attached to all core movement.
So that is it. He is not in joint practice today, but he is dealing with an oblique injury, according to Mike McDaniel. So that's where we're at with his injury. And he is not going to participate. Obviously, that would mean he's probably not going to play in the game, which we weren't expecting anyway. Omar Kelly tweets out that he did take the receivers and Tua bowling yesterday.
He got an oblique and he's bowling?
Hey, man. I don't know.
I'm just
maybe
saying.
Maybe he just did the trip. He just sat by.
I'm just saying. Like, bowling is very hard on all of that.
Maybe he got, like, the little slide things that the kids use and he just pushed the bowling ball down.
I don't know.
Or hit it granny style. I don't know.
Let's see. Omar also tweets out, Patrick Paul just got put to the ground during his first one-on-one rep.
It's all right.
David Ferrona says, the Bears receivers whipped the Dolphins cornerbacks in one-on-ones.
Not a shocker.
Mike Hilton, Ethan Bonner, and Quinnell Armstrong had pass breakups. All right. Waiting for a good tweet. Going to be a good tweet. It's going to come. It's going to come already.
Understand the single most difficult thing for a defensive back is one-on-one pass coverage. Because without any context of game, situation, or whatever, you're just guarding a guy 50 yards by 50 yards. So it's a bit unfair.
They're also saying it's a lot of flags are getting thrown on these one-on-ones.
A lot of grabbing and a lot of fighting.
Hey, you know, it seems like it's going to be a brewing scuffle.
With all that grabbing?
All that grabbing. Little scuffle's going to be happening. Let's see. Mike McDaniel said on Tyreek Hill, he's trying to practice. He's working through an oblique that got worse because he was taking every rep that was on the books. He's trying to sneak his way into taking every rep. He was doing individual work yesterday, so that's a good sign. Let's see. Mo Kamara did not travel with the Dolphins because he's in concussion protocol, according to David Veronis. And Alec Ingold is progressing through concussion protocol.
I've been in concussion protocol for 17 years. It ain't fun.
And then Mike McDaniel says on Sunday's game that we'd like to get starter snaps. How long, if at all, will depend on practice today. So there you go. That's what we got from old Mike McDaniel. Tua, he spoke earlier in the week about his backups. This is, Brittany says, this is who's got to show her a little something. Zach Wilson, Quinn Ewers. This is what Tua's had to say about his QB room.
For them, they're working really hard. They're competing, not just against each other and against myself,
But within themselves, you know, that mental battle that they're having, if one sees another throw a deep ball or a good ball and they complete it, you know, the other not having to feel as if, okay, if I get that same play, I'm going to try to take that shot. If that's not what the play asks of you to do, you know, that's not your job. Your job is to, you know, distribute the play within the timing of the play, or distribute the ball within the timing of the play, and then you progress from there. So I think they're doing a great job, and we're really excited to see what those guys can do for us on Sunday.
All right. There you go. Tua on his quarterback, Zach Wilson, and Quinn Ewers. Didn't sound like a guy was going to play on Sunday. Yeah, see what those guys do. Get a little cute. Well, I would say this. If the starters are going to play, whether Tua plays or doesn't play, you would think that the offensive line, like Patrick Paul, Jonah, Savaiyanaya, who are young guys who are projected to be starters, you would expect they're going to get some snaps.
Well, the young guy, I don't care what position you play. If you're young, you're getting some time. You have to.
Let's see. Still looking for a good tweet. Tough. A lot of stress on this joint practice.
Why?
Yesterday, oh man, because I want some good tweets. Need a good tweet.
I mean, are you being realistic about it, though?
Well, I think I'm being realistic. Hey, listen, as long as somebody shows me a little something on Twitter, then I'm happy. We also got last night, Anthony Richardson was kind of the big story of preseason last night. He got lit up like a Christmas tree.
Again.
He got his pinky sent into another direction. He's cool, though. He's day-to-day. This is Anthony Richardson after the game on what happened when he got hurt.
I definitely looked at it. That's a tricky one because it's five-man pro, and I'm hot from the backside. I just got to get my eyes, you know, just be able to, you know, react to that. But just five-man pro, just playing hot. You know, I just got to be on my P's and Q's when it comes to that.
Did you just not see it?
It was just going to be hard for me to see it anyway because my eyes are looking a certain way. But I just got to be keyed on when everybody bringing pressure like that. I thought it was about to be the nickel, but they brought it from the other side. So I got to be ready to just get the ball out.
Which is exactly what I told you.
Head on a swivel.
Well, it's not even that. He's the reason why he got hit like that. But I would say this. When you start reading defenses and you get an idea of what they're going to do on the field, that's definitely a play where you change the protection. Because you would rather the hot come from your front side rather than your back side. So if the play is designed to go front side, and you're looking front side and somebody come and hit you from the back because you didn't look on the back side, you got to be able to look at the defense, and you can get an idea if you study enough tape or get enough reps. You can get an idea of, okay, they might bring this guy off the edge. I'm going to slide the pass protection to the right so that the hot rusher or the guy I have to make an adjustment on comes from where I'm looking. And that's just part of growing as a quarterback.
And then finally, Cam Ward's getting ready, likely for some preseason action this weekend, the former Miami Hurricanes quarterback. Here's what he had to say about getting ready to get some NFL snaps in the preseason.
Coach Callahan, he know I'm ready to play the whole time if I need to. But this is also a big evaluation, not only for myself, but for the whole team. You know, I'm ready to make plays when my number's called.
How excited are you for that opportunity to get out there for the first time, like for real stuff?
I'm real excited to just be on the grass again, to just really put everything that I worked for out there and, you know, just try to, you know, lead my teammates and, you know, try to get a win out there.
Cam Ward taking on the Bucks this weekend, who got into a little brouhaha on the practice field.
There's certain teams that we would play against or practice against, and you always knew it was going to be a physical affair. I don't know what it is about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but throughout the history of the Bucs, you always think of physicality up front. It's been that way for years. Even when they were terrible, their defenses and their front seven have always been pretty good. So then there's Chicago. Chicago usually plays a physical style. San Fran. These are all teams through the history have been Baltimore.
Yep.
Like Pittsburgh. So if ever you play or practice against any of these teams, even when I played, you knew what you had to go in there with, the mind frame or the mindset you had to go in there and play against them with.
We'll take a break here on FM 104.3 WQAM Tobin and Leroy. Back with more after this. All right, welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you on FM 104.3. Good to be on FM 104.3. Shout out to everybody up there in the Palm Beaches, down to the Keys who are hearing us crystal clear. It is very exciting news we got yesterday from the peeps at Odyssey. So we're excited about this venture for everybody who is joining us. And for those who are just finding us there for the first time, you got us until 2 p.m. here today. We are in our normal homes. Nothing changes there as well. Still on the AM dial for the old school crackles out there who like to hear that. If you guys want to hear us on the Odyssey app, iHeart, or TuneIn, that's there. And we also have us on YouTube and Twitch. So there you go. Miami Dolphins are in the midst of a joint practice right now. So you got that. But then not only that, Leroy, we got action tonight. If you want to watch new Miami Heat guard Norman Powell tonight, can I interest you in a little Jamaica versus Barbados? I don't think J-Fig, is my mic on? I don't think Leroy heard me. Can I?
His microphone's definitely on.
Let me just it got lost in translation. We're on a new signal now. FM. No,
I just didn't want to cuss on FM.
I just want to make sure you
just
heard
got
me.
Here. We just got here.
You just want to
might
make sure.
Might as well just let it.
Yeah, one more time, Leroy. Tonight, Norman Powell is going to be in action for Jamaica against Barbados. 7 o'clock tonight.
Be more interesting if they both had a bobsled team.
Dude, that's not cool. What do you mean?
Cool runnings.
We gotta root for Norman Powell. See what he's gonna do with this Jamaican basketball team.
Is there a rule in life that you have to root for a guy outside of him playing for your team?
What do you mean?
Just what I said. Can I root for Norman Powell when he plays for the Heat? Or do I have to?
Do you have something against
him? Do I now have to root for him every basketball, all the basketball he plays?
I'm just, you don't want to take a little looky-loo, see what Jamaica has for Barbados tonight? They're trying to work their way into a FIBA qualifier.
No, I do not.
Interesting.
Not even, and it must have just caught your eye. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you would have brought this up and tickled my fancy.
No, I wanted this to have its own entity.
Yeah, good. I see why.
Serbia takes on Greece tomorrow. I still can't find where that's going to broadcast, though. See, Barbados versus in Jamaica. Greece? I don't know where it is.
Greece.
I don't think the game is in Greece.
No, I'm saying that's where it'll be broadcast.
Oh, maybe. I don't know. But I'm trying to find out where I could watch it here in America. I guess I could look and I'm sure I could find some seedy pirate site, but I'm trying not to get a virus on my computer. But here's the thing. Greek Freak, he's ducking Jovic. He's not playing in this one.
Who cares?
What do you mean who cares? What are you doing? You haven't played basketball in all this time. Get out there and play with your Greek national team against Jovic. That's what I want to see. And I tell you why, because some of Nico's best games have come against the Bucks. Seems to me like somebody.
But that's because they had a 40-year-old Lopez brother on him.
That's it's not his fault.
Like
young legs.
I mean, Jovic thinking he was a Hall of Famer, putting that old man on him.
I don't think I'm mincing words when I tell you Nikola Jovic has basically been the face of Serbia. I mean, outside of Joker, of course. But I don't think Joker wants to be the face of Serbia. I think he wants to be the face of horse. Nico, I think, wants to be the face of Serbia.
Oh, my goodness.
I can't believe you're not into this, dude. And Pella's on his way for Sweden. Sweden plays on Sunday. Who are they playing? Who's Sweden got? Sweden.
Do the Wagner twins play, or brothers?
For Germany.
For Germany, right?
Yep.
Along with, what's his name? With the...
Schroeder. Schroeder plays for Germany as well. We have, it looks like we have Sweden, Poland on Sunday.
Really? Name this one Polish basketball player.
I can't. I don't know a Polish basketball player. I mean, you can't name
a basketball player from Barbados.
I can't. I'm worried. I'm focused on my guys. You know, I'll learn those guys when I tune in tonight and watch it on the FIBA YouTube page.
You figured out where to watch it?
I know where that one is. I can't find the Serbian game. Schmieden says Marcin Gortat is Polish. I think he's right about that. Remember Marcin Gortat?
Yes. Yes.
Lots of years. He'd give you 15 and he'd give you 6-6.
Yeah.
Marcin Gortat was out there, and you know, you could just go out there and be like, you know, we need some backup minutes tonight. Who do we go to? Marcin Gortat.
Yep.
Why don't you? So if you had to watch one, though, if I forced you to watch one, it was the only option, would you go Serbia, Greece, Jamaica, Barbados, or Sweden, Poland?
Serbia and Greece.
Okay, fair enough.
At least they got players, you know, I'm familiar with on both sides.
Okay, fair enough. Karen says Rihanna's playing point guard for Barbados.
He'd watch that.
What are you trying to say, Jennifer?
Am I wrong? Exactly.
I think you're underestimating how exciting this is going to be.
No, I'm not.
No, I think you are. I think you are.
Not one bit. Jamaica's
been training down here. They trained at FAU. They got a couple practices in. Now they're going to warm themselves up. They're trying to make the Olympics. It's a big deal for Jamaica. And Norman Powell is going to try and lead the way.
You are not selling me under no circumstances on Jamaica Barbados. Sorry.
Well, you guys wanted sports. He's giving you sports.
I've got enough sports for my weekend. I'm full.
Are you?
You're watching golf, and not even good golf.
What are you talking about? It's the playoffs.
Whatever, dude. You go ahead. You watch your playoffs like that really matters to you.
It does. I want to see who's going to win the FedEx Cup and the $20 million.
Dade South says he would watch it if it was following an episode of Franklin and Bash. If it was following Suits, if it was following some episode of TNT.
Bones.
No, I've watched Bones. I've watched Suits, but I'm not into, like, I've seen every episode of Castle, every episode of NCIS New Orleans, not regular NCIS. Although, want to hear something crazy? So, when we first got to Michigan, Bo would always tell a story. We went and played UCLA. And he said, we played UCLA back in the day. He said, we beat them so bad, we made their starting quarterback go into acting. It was Mark Harmon, the actor. He played quarterback for UCLA. So he would tell that story every year.
Checking in on some of the tweets from the joint practice. Omar Kelly. Jalen Wright is running in quicksand. I just don't see it. Most of his runs aren't gaining positive yards.
It's hard. Listen. It's really hard when they tell you as a running back there's no tackling. You have to be careful how you run in there, because if they're not trying to hit you and you go in there like a bat out of hell, it's going to be a kerfuffle. So sometimes it looks that way, But it's just a hard spot for everybody to be in when one of the things that separates running backs from other running backs is their ability to break tackles. So how do you do that when there's no tackling?
I have a good tweet.
Sure.
Jordan Brooks picked off Caleb Williams.
There's a shocker.
Let's see. Jalen Waddle got lit up by Tyreek Stevenson, former Miami Hurricane, and forced a fumble on a screen play.
Still throwing those little quick passes, huh? That's what I took out of that.
Jalen Waddle was slow to get up, according to David Veronis.
Contact to do that to you.
Yeesh. All right.
You have to check. Look, check your mouthpiece, check your helmet. Yeah, we're good.
Head on a swivel, Waddle.
Yeah, you like playing that position, you got two choices. You can keep your eye on the ball or have quick eyes and see where that action coming from. And you may take your eye off the ball and drop it. You know what the coach say? Catch it. You're going to get hit anyway.
There's a lot of people who are out here thinking that Waddle is going to be wide receiver one this year, and they think that. I really don't. I know there's a lot been made about this Tyreek Hill drama, and you know people are trying to read into Mike McDaniel's hieroglyphic quotes on Rich Eisen yesterday, and they really think that this dictates that they're going to try and feed Jalen Waddle the football more. And I got to say, I love Jalen Waddle. I'm a big fan of Jalen Waddle. He's not better than Tyreek Hill. He's not the number one wide receiver on this team.
He's Alvin Harper.
And I don't think that he is taking that over this year with Tyreek Hill on this team. All things going right. I really just don't. And I don't see it helping the Dolphins in any way that there's some passing of the torch to Jalen Waddle. Jalen Waddle has had fine seasons with Tyreek Hill on his football team. And it is what it is. When you play with that guy, you're number two. That's how it is. I don't think that there's going to be some vast leap. And to be honest with you, we talk all the time. We make jokes about Eric Azukama, and we make jokes about, you know, Mr. Preseason and all that, Mr. Training Camp. Dude, we've literally been doing this with Jalen Waddle every training camp since his sophomore year, that this is going to be the amazing Jalen Waddle season. I think he'll be good. I think he'll be very good. I think he can put up very nice numbers, but I don't think he's taking the reins from Tyreek Hill. I'm not sold on that.
Where do you make the over-under for Tyreek and Waddle being like 30 yards apart?
Being 30 yards? No, I think Tyreek's going to outgain him by probably a few hundy.
No, but that's what I'm saying. The over-under for both of them is like...
Oh, well, I see what you mean. You mean on the odds. Yeah, yeah.
Right.
I think the Dolphins' odds are a little screwed up just because I think that Vegas is telling you they don't believe Tua can stay healthy.
You think it has more to do with Tua is why
I think so. Yeah, I think so. Because it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense you have both those guys under 1,000. You know what I mean? Like, does it make any
sense? Do they believe that the Miami Dolphins will not have a 1,000-yard receiver?
That has to be what it means.
I mean, even with Tua playing 13 games, they had a 1,000-yard receiver.
Well, they both missed it last year by a little bit.
Oh, so no, they didn't.
But they're saying that I feel like that's going to be the anomaly. I don't think that that's going to be the case. Because I do think I agree with you. I think they're going to run the ball. I think they're going to find their form a little bit more. But I don't believe there's going to be some changing of the guard to Waddle being the number one dude. Maybe I'll look foolish, but I don't know, man. I just think that it's on a team with Tyreek Hill, I don't think that he's going to have this fall off. I think having Tyreek Hill, you could talk about, you know, how much of a jackass he is off the field or whether he's trying to get forgiveness from his team. I don't like what he did at the end of last year, but his football talent is too intoxicating to make a point to try and pass the offense off to an inferior player, which is what Jalen Waddle is. And by the way, there's no shame in that. You're inferior to one of the best receivers in the league.
The problem is that if you want to change the culture, right? It's upon the players. And if you have a player that just isn't buying in, then you maybe have to have another conversation, right? It's not whether Tyreek is great or not. But for the overall well-being of your team, his other stuff, is that going to be a hindrance to your success? And it's the unfortunate thing, but guess what? In sports, we've had a lot of great players, a lot of guys who were really good at this sport that ended up not playing very long because of the same kind of situations we're talking about now. Look at somebody like Antonio Brown. At one time, he was the best receiver in the league.
Right.
And he managed to, with all his antics, ruin it.
It's true. I get you. But, I do think that, do I play it into antics, or do I have to say, hey, Tyreek Hill did play last year pretty banged up too?
All the other stuff, or all the other reasons as to why he didn't have as good a year as he had the year before, come into play if you don't have the non-football stuff, to talk about. Like, more people would be along the lines of trying to come out and say, man, he played really banged up. And I applaud him personally for it, because nobody cares how hurt you are. If you're on the field, they want you to have success. So I get that. And I appreciate him, trying to suck it up and give you everything that he has. But how last season ended, how he tends to say crazy things, right, that's going to start playing a bigger role than it should in the Tyreek Hill story, especially if he's not producing the way he was when all those things were cute.
No, I get you. But I guess my faith is that he's going to still produce, because I think Tyreek Hill's always said crazy, annoying things. I don't think that it's going to get to the point that I don't believe that Tyreek Hill's washed as a football player.
Oh, no, I'm not saying that.
I don't think that we've gotten to the point where Jaylen Waddle has passed him. Like, I will be very – if they both have 1,000, like, if they both cross the 1,000, and you had to say who's going to be the one who gets to 1,500 and who's going to be closer to the 1,000, I still think it's Cheetah and Waddle. That's how I think it's going to go. I don't think it's going to be the other way around.
The other thing that you also – have to, like, just be real about is how much of this stuff affects the other players, right?
Yeah.
And so while I get all the stuff that you think about Tyreek and whatever, from a team perspective, they have to look at things a little bit differently, because how is this affecting the overall picture? How is this affecting how people are responding to the coach and the coaching staff if you have one guy doing whatever he wants to do and then other guys thinking they could do it too, right? So, yeah, I get it. I don't know. I really don't. And part of the reason is because Tyreek's keep talking.
Yeah, you're never going to keep that guy from talking. We'll take a break.
Saying some of the same things that – would lead you to think he's acting like nothing happened.
I think he knows something happened. I think that it's one of those things. Like, I think he handled the Tua stuff okay. Like, when Tua said, hey, he's still working, and he said, I think it's fine that Tua said that. Yeah. I think that was the best thing that he could have said. But he's still going to say crazy things, like, make fun of Devon Achane and Mike McDaniel putting him out there. And sometimes the crazy guy says some logical things.
If the crazy guy said logical things, he wouldn't be deemed crazy.
On all topics,
I'm just saying. Part of the reason why we call somebody crazy, because they don't.
We'll take a break. Got some more stuff running in from the Dolphins joint practice. One is that this is from a Bears reporter, Greg Braggs. Miami is having trouble getting organized with their first team offense. Multiple false starts. McDaniel is just holding his head in frustration. Awesome. Take a break here on FM 104.3 WQAM. Tobin and Leroy continues after this. All right, welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you on FM 104.3 WQAM. It's a Friday. It's a Vice Shirt Friday. Rolling along here, Miami Dolphins in the midst of a joint practice with the Chicago Bears, according to Courtney Cronin. I hope no relation to Joe. She covers the Bears for ESPN. First scuffle of joint practice comes during a special teams period.
Mm-hmm. Sounds about right.
Those guys got hair on fire trying to make the team.
Yep, pretty much.
Got to.
Plus, there's certain, let's be clear, there's certain plays that you practice where nobody's really paying attention, so they all grab.
He's a grabber. He's a grabber, ladies and gentlemen. Let us get to the mixed bag. All right, footy football is in full swing. Last night we had the Cincinnati Bengals take on the Philadelphia Eagles, who, by the way, still did the tush push last night.
Of course.
Everyone's got to get in on the tush push.
Everybody can't do it.
The Bengals, they played Joe Burrow out there with Ja'Marr Chase, and let's hear from the Tiger King himself, Joe Burrow. And this is what he had to say on the preseason opener for the Bengals.
Got to be better. Too many procedural penalties, too many errors. You know, things like that are going to happen, but you know, I think it was much, just wasn't clean enough across the board.
All right. There you go. Joey B, not satisfied. By the way, Omar Kelly says on Twitter that Jalen Waddle is back out there practicing after getting roughed up a little bit. So that's good news. Good news that the Penguin is back out on the field. But the Bengals yesterday, yeah, had to get some things going. But they did get some touchdowns on the board as well. They were trying to get off to a faster start. Seems like everyone's trying some different stuff. Hey, you play starters, you don't play starters. Let's see. We're trying to figure this thing out when it comes to the preseason and how much.
The problem is there's no standard.
There is no standard.
And every coach goes about it differently. One, you have to know your team. You also have to understand, you know, what you're trying to accomplish. That's why you notice a lot of the veteran teams don't play a lot of their guys.
The Chiefs, they are going to play Patrick Mahomes. According to Andy Reid, he's going to play in the first quarter against the Cardinals on Saturday night. Here is what the Chiefs QB had to say on the preseason.
I don't necessarily look forward to getting hit. Like, I always like getting hit once, but it's still a shock. I mean, going up against Spags is always tough, but it'll be a good defense that we're going up against, and they have a great scheme and a great coach. And so I'm just excited to see where we're at. Go out there, see where we're at. Hopefully a couple series and get to go out there and then play some good football.
Does anybody get used to that the greatest quarterback going right now sounds like that? It's still jarring to me.
Every single time.
Like that beginning when he was like, oh, like that was something.
I can't even understand what he's saying because I'm so concentrated on his voice.
You can't.
Ask me right now. I don't know what he said.
It's Looney Tunes.
It's the Muppets, Kermit the Frog is what it is.
Do you think like when he tries to do different voices, like when he's telling his kids stories at bedtime, do you feel like he can change his voice to something else? Or is it just like, is it Kermit the Frog? Like,
when he has to bring the hammer down, you can't use that voice, right?
That's why I'm saying like when he yells at players or like him and his wife are in an argument, I would just laugh because like, what is that voice?
It's something, man. Whew. Wow. Anyway, they're going to be taking on the Cardinals tomorrow. Another man who has a funny voice is Ed Orgeron. Ed Orgeron was on.
Is he still coaching?
Well, funny you should mention that, Leroy. He was on with our friend, Amber Wilson. You were met on this show earlier in the week with Amber Wilson on ESPN Radio, as was Ed Orgeron. And this is what Coach O had to say about a future in coaching.
When I do want to go back, I just wanted the best position available. And if it's a position coach, a defensive line coach at a big school or something like that, whether it be the NFL or college, that'd be fine with me. You know, if I do go back, I'd have to work my way up. I know that. But I haven't made that decision yet. But if I get the itch, I'm definitely going to do it.
Wow.
Sounds like he waiting until that LSU money run out.
Sounds like it. Or, you know, maybe he's got his eye on the Canes if Jason Taylor moves on to greener pastures one day and he wants to get in on the Canes position.
You think?
Is this Sun still with the program? He was hanging around a bunch.
I wonder where they, because they all have tie-ins. Like these coaches, they either were graduate assistants together or something like that before they went their own way.
He switched from the Go Tiger to Go Canes. Back to the Go Canes.
I mean, see, he didn't sign his country either, right?
He's trying to
unlegible.
Knows he's talking to the country there on ESPN Radio. Man, that is something. I mean, honestly, those are probably the two heavyweights in sports right now: Ed Orgeron and Patrick Mahomes. When it just comes to sports voice,
you just put them back to back. Thank God we're on FM now. You could really hear them.
You could really you get could the really, yeah. You could really you're right, Brittany. You get a real enunciation. A man who's got a stern voice commands authority. That's of course Mike Tomlin. Mike Tomlin on why his Steelers aren't playing a lot of people in the preseason opener.
Make judgments based on what I'm looking at. I just feel comfortable with what I've seen from those guys through this portion of the process that makes me comfortable in saying that they won't play this week. Next week may be different. We really respect the days that are this process, and I try not to make plans with broad strokes, but really kind of in more smaller increments. And so the decision not to play some of those guys that I mentioned really was based on what I've seen from them in this environment to this point.
Would you expect Aaron to play in one of the preseason games?
You know, I'm not looking ahead, to be quite honest with you. I'm just extremely comfortable with my decision not to play him this week.
All right.
Can I just tell you, he's starting to get to feel more and more like he's Black Mike McDaniel. Because he kind of goes on and on and on. And if I close my eyes, I could hear Mike McDaniel saying the same things.
More commanding, though. You know, he's got a more commanding right. of nonsense.
He's more speech. Definitive to the point. He's not.
Yeah.
Right.
No, yeah. I got you. His truck junk hangs a little bit more when he's talking. Like he's rolling around Davey.
Are you accusing Mike of having baby truck nuts?
I'm not. I thought actually, remember Mike McDaniel, you know, his first couple of years, he had those giant wheelbarrow nuts. He was too aggressive sometimes. He'd be like, more than 16 and my own 15. Let's just go for it.
Oh my God.
From Travis Wingfield of the Miami Dolphins Drive Time podcast, he tweets out, "It's been tough sledding for the Dolphins offense. A screen to Waddle blown up, then a tackle for loss on a run, and then Tua sacked twice."
Yeah. All right.
I need some good tweets. Can somebody give me a good tweet?
It's like this. I would say this. If you go to any offense playing against a defense in these practices, they're all experiencing the same thing. Defense is always way more successful in camp.
That's what it sounds like on their side, too. It sounds like Caleb Williams is having a rough time right now on his side.
Yeah, because all you got to do, look, see ball, hit ball on defense. You ain't game planning. Like, they set you up in drills. Guess what? The outside linebacker, if he ain't got to worry about play action and it's just a run drill, he's crashing hard off the edge, right? When a lot of the plays you run – you have actions that keep him home, but he knows he ain't got to worry about a pass. Crash down, right? He ain't worried about a lot of that stuff. The DBs ain't worried about penalties. They grabbing. So it's a lot more beneficial.
Is it a little like summer league with the 10 fouls they could just do without?
Yes. Yes. And that's why guys start fighting, because you know you can't grab like that. Man. Usually a fight, here's how a fight starts. Hey, man, don't grab me like that again. Else what?
and then what has to happen?
Yeah, you got to defend your honor. You can't just be talking trash.
Got to let the trucks hang. We'll take a break. Final hour coming up here on FM 104.3 WQAM. Tobin and Leroy, we take you up until 2. Play a little You're Dead to Me next hour as well. We're back after this.